Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, how many of you are excited about being just belonging to God?
Amen.
Well, you're not too excited. Amen. I'm excited about belonging to God. I tell you what, in this kind of world and everything that's happening, you know, I mean, just look at the weather. It's so different. Whoever saw the weather like it is, and it was in February, and now it looks like we're having February and March, and things seem to be turned upside down. I've never seen lawlessness the way it is now. I mean, people doing things that a few years back they would have been arrested for. And now it seems like anything goes. But I'm so glad for the Word of God. I'm glad for that stable thing we can go back to. Amen. You know, we can go back to the Word of God and know that God said we win. So it doesn't matter how crazy things get and how many times the enemy hits you, we hit him back. And I got something bigger to hit him with than he hit me with. So praise God. I'm going to just, I'm talking about renewing the mind. And I'm going to just go over the what we went over last week just a little bit and then go on. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It said we're to present them. I mean, even if you're sick, you present it holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service, it says. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. I mean, we do that to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I hadn't seen that till a couple weeks ago, and that we prove what is the acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And to be conformed means to change, totally change what you were. You know, if I say I have water in a big pitcher and I pour it into a small glass, I conform that. You know, that water's in a different shape than it was before. If, you know, you put it in an oblong pan and it's still a different shape, you know, you're conformed. So you don't even look like you did before. Hallelujah. And some of your old programming will allow things that a king won't do, and you're a king and a queen. And you are supposed to act like royalty. You know, that's what we're supposed to act like. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you got to have gold dripping from you. But bless God, you can do the best you can with what you got. You understand that? Hallelujah. People say, oh, you shouldn't wear makeup. Well, you know what? Any old barn looks a little better with some paint on it. So I just paint my barn. Hallelujah. And you know, you do the best you can with what you got. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, when we were a kid, we didn't have much. My dad was a coal miner, and, you know, we didn't have a whole lot. But what we had was clean. You know, we kept it clean, and we tried to be nice, tried to act with kindness. But see, what's been programmed into you is in your subconscious, and your subconscious has a comfort zone. It does. You're comfortable around certain things and not anything else, you know. You get past that, and it really tears you up. You know, like you got set in your mind how far up you can go, and past that, you're just not comfortable, and you just don't go there. But you need to get out of your comfort zone. You need to come up to where the kings live. And you know what? The more I see, the more I read the Word. I told Jonathan, I listened to Kenneth Hagin years ago, saying, you know, write your own ticket with God and all this. And what you could have, and it just didn't sink in. But now I'm seeing things that we can't. Glory to God. I mean, why should the world have everything? You know, really, I mean, when God's kids, we ought to dress the best. We ought to eat the best. We ought to stay in the best places. We ought to have the best. We really should. But then we should be the best. You know, we should, whatever we do, we should do with excellence. Hallelujah. And people have compromised. I see that, you know, and Pastor Kevin's talking about taking the mountaintops again. I love that. And you know, people, we can take the mountaintops. Our kids can take them if we won't compromise. But I see so much compromise. I see so much conforming to the world. He said, be not conformed. Be not conformed, you know, to the world, but be transformed. We're supposed to be transformed. We're supposed to change some. Listen, we're supposed to change some things. God didn't send us here to take sides. He sent us here to take over. And but you know, the church has thought, well, we just barely creep around and just sit on our blessed assurance until the rapture, you know. We're all waiting on the rapture bus. Well, you know what? It's coming. I believe in the rapture, and I believe it's coming and probably quicker than we ever thought. But he didn't tell you to sit and soak. He told us to begin to occupy. He told us to occupy. He told us to do some things while we're here. God has sent us here to change this world. Hallelujah. And you know what? I see this, our neighbor, he's got a dog, and he goes down the street. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to take my neighborhood, I'm going to start someplace. So the other day, I was getting out of my car, and the dog come up. So when the dog come up, I patted the dog. You're going to be very surprised that I patted the dog. Anyway, it's not that I don't like dogs. I'm just not a real animal person. But anyway, I patted and began to talk to him about Jesus. Well, he just got very nervous, and I just kept talking to him. He's going off, and I'm telling him and the neighbor across the street. You know, you need Jesus in your heart, and you got to make, yeah, well, me and my girlfriend, we're living down here, you know, but we're saved and all this, you know. And I think the world has so put things out that it just sounds like the right thing to do. And you know what? Even our kids will fall into that. So we just have to take the word of God. We're supposed to change where we are. And I told you, take responsibility for your zip code. You know, I don't start with your zip code, because maybe you can't believe, but just for next door. But, you know, take your street first. And then, I mean, take responsibility. Bless God, devil, you'll not put poverty on my street. I told you, I quit praying like that. And man, the house across the street, one on either side of us, just down the street, they just started being empty houses. And they were condemning these houses in our neighborhood. I thought, man, I better get on it. So I began to pray and begin to take responsibility again, and begin to cover my neighborhood, and you know, tell the devil, you get off my neighborhood. We're not going to have any divorces here. You know, you start with your, maybe the house beside you and the one on the other side of you, but extend as far as you got faith to believe for. But let's begin to change some of this stuff. Did God just, see, for years we were taught, you were just sent here just to occupy till he comes, sit here and wait and try to do the best you can and hang on. I mean, that's what I was taught, you know. But bless God, I found out in the word, it said he'll keep me. I'm kept by the power. Whoa, whoa. Hallelujah. I'm kept by the power of God. You understand? I am kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. So I don't have to keep myself. I don't have to spend all my time trying to keep myself. So I begin to look past me. And when there's a storm, come against the storm, not just for me and my family, but come against that thing. And tell. The other day, my daughter and I, when we were coming back from Carbondale, we were coming down North 2nd. We were about maybe a half a mile from my house. It was black as pitch, and it was raining so hard that we could hardly see to drive. Well, I come against it. I said, you will not do this. I had to unload all that stuff, and I'm not unloading it in the rain. And in Jesus' name, you stop it. It got worse. I'm telling you, it got darker, and it got, you know, we were having to slow down. But I just kept saying it. No. You know, when we get home, it's not going to rain on us having to unpack all this stuff in Jesus' name. Do you know when we pull up in the driveway, it lightened up. It quit raining, and we unloaded, and it was not in the dark, and it was not in the rain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. God gave us some authority on this earth. But see, we have not programmed our mind. We have not been conformed to the word. We've done what it looked like and accepted what the enemy put on us. But it's about time we as the church begin to stand up and say, no, devil, you're not doing this. Amen. Bless God, we will have victory, and we will have enough to give. Money to live and money to give. Yes. Are you tired of writing $5 and $10 and $50 checks? I want to write some thousands. Yes. I even know how to spell million. You know, yes. Bless God. And I know I primarily teach healing, and this has got to do with healing too. But we need to change our thinking, change our mind. Hallelujah! When you change your thinking, because you'll never get any further than you think. You just won't. Hallelujah. And if you don't know for sure it's God's will for you to prosper, you're not going to prosper. Well, God wants me poor, and He wants me. I don't find that. If God loves poverty, why don't He live in it? Come on. Hallelujah. You know, and if you're not careful as you, I don't want to say careful, but if you don't watch your mind, as you begin to mature, you'll begin to take on things that the world says you have to have. You'll begin to have little aches and pains here. You begin to, and maybe if you're retired, you look at your finances as just so much. Don't ever say you're on a fixed income. You know what? I am not on a fixed income. Our income is how God fixes it. And God has a way of getting stuff to us that, you know, my goodness, I don't have to know how it's coming. Glory to God. Are you getting anything out of this? Is this helping you? Glory to God. Sometimes when Pastor Kevin preaches some of this, I just get so excited. I think, whoa, it encourages me. And that's what I want to do is encourage you. But what you've been programmed in you gets into your subconscious, and that's where you stay. And you're not comfortable around anything else but just whatever you can think. So go past that. Glory to God. So the way you get used to that is continually thinking the same way. So get out of your comfort zone. Come up to where a king ought to live. In 1 John 4:17, I love this scripture. It says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because, come on, as He is, so are we in this world." Hallelujah. It's not all there for the sweet by and by. Glory to God. As He is, so are we. Who, you know, what is Jesus? What is He? Hallelujah. First of all, He's a king. Hallelujah. Glory to God, He's a king. Is He a king? Yes. Hallelujah. Are you children of the King?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless God. What will we think of a man who came in here all dressed just beautifully and nails all done and manicured and shoes shined and just looked wonderful, and has this bunch of little kids that come behind him, and they all look like little ragamuffins, you know, look like they're skinny, don't have enough to eat, no clothes to wear. I mean, here they come. What would you think of him as a dad? You wouldn't think much. Hallelujah. You'd think, what a pitiful father. Well, we don't have a pitiful father. We have a father who'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think. But we got to change our mind. We got to change our thinking. You got to believe that God wants the best for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before we get to the next level, we got to think on the next level. Stop thinking you're broke. Stop thinking that. Hallelujah. Stop thinking the way you think. You know, if your mind is always gone this way, take it, pull it back to what the Word of God says. Even if you can't even see it with your mind. That's the same way, you know, if the doctor says you're sick and you got something wrong, people say, oh, I'm sick. They go tell everybody I'm sick. Bless God, not me. They say I got something. That stuff can't live on me. We can take the Word of God and change that. And you begin to say what the Word says and see yourself as the Word sees you. Hallelujah. You got to make that Word so much bigger in your mind and your heart than what you can see, what you can feel, what the doctor says. You know, you've got to make that Word first place in your mind. Hallelujah. And in here. Hallelujah. I've been, you know, for years, I listen to the Word of God at night and I play it. And people say, well, you're asleep. What do you, you know, I've gotten so used to the Word of God going in my ear that if it's perfectly quiet, I can't go to sleep. I got to get that Word going in me. And they'll say, well, you know, you don't remember that. You'd be surprised how much that's getting into my spirit, feeding my spirit. My spirit man will work on my outside man, you know. Hallelujah. But I get a lot of that, too, in my mind, in my subconscious. I'm programming the Word of God in me. Hallelujah. And I listen to the Word of God, either some teaching tape or someone, you know, talking the Word continually. I've got that going in my car all the time. I'm listening. And I don't listen to junk, you know. Hallelujah. But you need to, that's the way you're going to change your mind, is you got to get the Word in you. Hallelujah. And listen, We need to be hope to the world, outside world. You understand that? The world don't have a lot of hope. But when you begin to say, hey, it's going to be all right. God's going to take care of me. And you come over here where I am, God will take care of you too. Hallelujah. Bless God. Does that encourage you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So take the first step in breaking that spirit of sickness and lack off your life. Don't let those old habits dictate your life. If you do, when something good, you know, if you just always, did you ever see anybody that's just always negative? And you know, something good come along, they miss it. Canaan coming and they miss it, you know, because they're looking for something bad and they think nothing good could happen to them. I know people like that. They're not pleasant to be around. You know, you feel like that comic, you know, Pigpen, is it Pigpen? You know, he brings that cloud everywhere he goes. Well, there's some people like that. They just bring the cloud. Hallelujah. So don't let your old habits dictate your life. If you do, then when something good comes, you'll miss it. Hallelujah. But bless God, I always say, you know, if anything good's going to happen, might as well happen to me. Anybody going to get healed here, might as well be me. Anybody going to get blessed, might as well be me. And I call myself blessed. Hallelujah. I say we're blessed. Glory to God. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything I set my hand to do is blessed. Glory to God. You say, well, it don't look like it. Well, honey, just hide and watch. It's going to get better. Hallelujah. I tell you, whoo, glory. Glory to God. See, we begin to say, I can't afford that. Don't say that. And if you've got little kids, don't tell them that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the reason you said that's the conditioning of your mind. It's not because God doesn't have the resources to get it to you. Did you ever, say maybe you're believing for something big, and somebody close to you is believing for something big too, and you're in two different households, and you think, well, maybe I shouldn't do that because maybe they wouldn't get theirs. Why don't God have enough to give us both something? Hallelujah. Come on. We got to, you know, I have to work on this and work on this. Hallelujah. And we all do, because bless God, if we got to depend on this world, we're in trouble. Hallelujah. But isn't God doing some things? Whew. Even in the natural, we see God doing some things. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Hallelujah. See, Canaan is the best that God has to offer in this world. But the devil is sitting on the best. You understand that? The devil's sitting on your prosperity. You know? Hallelujah. But he said in the word, you know, when the people come out of Canaan, he told them, said, you know, you have to go in and take it from the giants. Well, the giants were sitting on their prosperity. But they had to go in and take it back. You know, the giants didn't just fall over because they were standing on this side of the Jordan. You know, they woke up the Jordan, now the giants all fall down. No, they didn't. Hallelujah. They had to go in and take it. Well, that's like an example of us. Moses was an example of Jesus. He went in and got the people out of Egypt. He got them out of bondage. Hallelujah. Pulled them out of He pulled them out of bondage. And as I look at that, I mean, for goodness sake, he takes them out, does all these miracles to get them out. They're standing here. Here's the Red Sea in front of them. They don't know what to do. They're standing. He said, stretch forth your rod. When he stretched forth the rod, the sea parted. And they walked. Wouldn't you think they was walking into promised land? I mean, they were just walking. No, they were walking into desert where there was nothing. I'm telling you, I look at that and go, whoa, they're walking out there. Well, there's nothing. There's no water. There's no McDonald's. There's no Taco Bell. There's nothing. They're just out there. Hallelujah. And they look, and there's not even shade. You understand? They're in there. See, when we first come out of bondage, sometimes we come to a place where it looks like, oh, my friends don't want nothing to have nothing to do with me anymore, because I just want to talk about Jesus, and they want to talk about something else. And so my friends all drop me, and I start to tithe, and bless God, looks like everything in the house breaks. I mean, you ever been there? But, you know, see, God is getting us to a place when he brings us out, he wants us to trust him for everything. Amen. We have forgotten that. You know what? He wants us to trust him for everything. They come out, they have no shade, they have no water, they have no food, they have nothing. Standing out here. You realize this is not just a fairy tale. There was 3 million people or more out there in the desert. And here he is. How's he going to feed them? But God is not limited. Oh, glory. You understand? God poured manna. Give us this day our daily bread. Glory to God. You know, we forgot God promised. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed breaking bread. Well, some people say, well, they just sit down. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So I'll just quit my job and sit here and wait on the Lord. That's not what it means. Hallelujah. You know, living by faith don't mean quit your job. We do what we can do, and yet we don't trust in ourselves. And we don't trust in that job. We trust in the Lord. So when they're out there in the middle of the desert, there's nothing they can do but trust God. So he feeds them for 40 years. They get a miracle every day for 40 years. Glory to God. Every day, a miracle for 40 years. And then they didn't have any water. So he hits the rock, has Moses hit the rock, and water comes out. And I forgot how many millions of gallons. I had that written down in one of my lessons, that the rock poured out all that water, not for only them, but for their cattle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then they gripe and fuss because they have no meat. And then I told you, the quails all fall over and fall over dead right over them. I mean, it was right there because it piled up, and they didn't... It said it piled up so high. See, people say, well, how am I going to die if I don't get sick? If those quails could come up over them and fall dead, you can surely just fall dead when God gets ready and you're satisfied. Come on. Hallelujah. People have said that to me. Well, if I don't get sick, how am I ever going to die? Well, I'll tell you, just let God take your breath. Hallelujah. I don't see where God has to borrow sickness off the devil, you know, to make you sick. So he can take your breath. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the devil has robbed us. He's robbed us of our healing, our marriages, our children, our families, our peace, our well-being, our joy. But now he has to give it all back, because I found a scripture that says if a thief is caught, he has to pay back seven times. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, I tried to make him bring it back, but he just didn't. Well, I just feel so sorry for you, blessed God. You know, when it looks like it ain't working, I just work all the harder. I push all the harder. I say the word all the harder. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something, I win. I win, and it's mine, and bless God, I'm going to get it. Hallelujah. Come on. See, I always tell you, there's no quit in me. I don't know how to quit. Hallelujah. And I don't want to find out how. Hallelujah. God needs a people who are not afraid. Hallelujah. God needs the people who will go in and get it. How's that? Hallelujah. God has promised them some stuff, but we got to go after it. In Revelations 1, and it's verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own body, now in his own blood. Do you know, we were kind of taught, I mean, they didn't say it in these words, but I was in a different denomination, and they just kind of taught, hold on till Jesus comes, you know. Everything's for the sweet by and by. In the sweet by and by, you'll have all this stuff. I won't have to worry in the sweet by and by. They had a song like that. I won't have to worry anymore. We were in a church, and this woman, they were singing, and she was in the choir, and she threw her songbook way up in the air, because she wouldn't have to worry anymore when she got to heaven. Well, I found out I don't have to worry now. Hallelujah. You know what? I found out worry just never changed a thing except you. It'll change your, put wrinkles on you and gray hair and all that stuff. You have a bad stomach. And glory to God. I never changed one thing by worrying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And has made us, this is talking about Jesus, has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, not only are you a king, but you're a priest. See, a king stands before the people for God, and a priest stands before God for the people. Hallelujah. People need to stand up for the United States right now. We need to. Hallelujah. It used to be against the law to burn the flag. I mean, it was. I don't know how many of you remember when it used to be against the law. If you burned the flag, you could go to jail for it. Some of you young ones probably never heard of that, but it used to be, hallelujah, it used to be against the law to do some things. And now, you know, the people have compromised. But the church shouldn't be compromising. You know, we shouldn't be. I mean, God has called us to walk a holy walk. And we ought to, you know, I don't want people looking at me and saying, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be. Because I've seen people like that. I thought, gracious, come be a happy Christian like me. No, thank you. I don't want what you've got. Hallelujah. But we need to stand. We need to get Jesus in our heart. And not just, I'm not just talking about accepting him as Savior. I don't want him just as life insurance. I want him to be my friend. He said I was his friend. So I want to have that relationship where I hear him and I do what he tells me. And I live in abundance, not just abundance of finances, but live in abundance of peace and abundance of joy. You know, joy will do a whole lot of things for you. Glory to God. When you feel like crying, just begin to praise the Lord. You know, sometimes I just for the fun of it, I'll say, ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Yeah. I just do that. And you know, one time I heard the devil say, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "You." You know, come on. Hallelujah. You know, just try it. Hallelujah. He don't know what to do with that. And you say, "Well, that's just dumb." Well, it made me feel good. So just, you know, hallelujah. I told you before, this lady came up to me and she said, "You're a nut. You're just a nut." I said, "I'm a heal nut. I'm a happy nut. I'm a save nut. I got my needs met. I'm okay. Just leave me alone, okay?" Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in my nuttiness. Hallelujah. It's harvest time. It may look bad on the outside, but it's harvest time. But you have to renew your mind to this and not what the world or the television is feeding you. You know, sometimes they'll say, "Oh, you know, if you've ever had the chicken pox, then you have this virus in you and you're going to get, what is it? Shingles." Yeah. Every time they say that, I say, "Not me. Uh-uh, not me." And you know, when pastor preaches something good, I say, "That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me." You need to begin to agree with that and say that stuff out your mouth. "That's me. Hallelujah. Glory to God, that's me." Hallelujah. But when the TV says things, I'll say, "Not me." Somehow I shut that mess off. Hallelujah. Call your doctor and see if it's right for you. You know, it may kill you. Chantix. What is it? Chantix? You won't smoke anymore, but you may kill yourself. You may be dead, but you won't smoke. Yes. Hallelujah. Numbers 14:1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." How many of you know that things just get worse at night? You know, if you ever just get troubled at night, just begin to praise the Lord, because it's going to look better in the morning. It always does. Hallelujah. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them." Now, you know, this is so dumb to me, what they're saying. "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness." They're wishing they were dead. And I told you, don't do that. Don't ever say, "I wish I was dead." Don't ever say the world would have been better off if I'd never been born. You're making a covenant with death. Don't ever say that. Hallelujah. But they're saying that. Well, why didn't they just lay down in the wilderness and die if that's what they wanted to do, you know? See, when you get depressed, depressed looks that way. But then they go on to say, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us out into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let's make a captain and let's return to Egypt." Now, what happened here? Fear. Fear. Even Elijah, remember when Elijah, he gets out there and says, "Oh, God, just kill me. Just kill me. You know, I'm the only one left." Well, if he wanted to die, why didn't he stay there? Because Jezebel would have accommodated him. When you get depressed, it causes you to say dumb things. Hallelujah. So don't fall into that. Begin to take the Word of God. And begin to say what the Word of God says about you. When fear comes in, that's what happened. What's happened to our nation today. And I really believe that's Al-Qaeda and all these terrorists. That's what they're trying to do, is put fear in people. Change your life. I saw where they were bomb threats to the Jewish community centers. But I saw this Jewish man say, "We're going to go anyway. You know, they're not going to push us into not going because we're afraid." You know, and that's what the enemy will try to do. He'll try to put fear on you to keep you out of the good things God has for you. Hallelujah. They call it terrorism. It's designed to bring terror. People are afraid to fly, afraid to go to the mall, afraid to go to a public place. Afraid, you know, terror will stop you, and it'll torment you, and it'll keep you out of the good things of God. Because sometimes God will say, "Do this," but you're afraid and you won't do it. people almost feed on it. Did you ever notice that? They almost feed on fear. God has called us to another altitude during this time. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but what did he give us? Power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. A sound mind. People say, I think I'm going crazy. You better quit saying that. Hallelujah. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. The perfect memory recaller. Because he said the Holy Ghost will bring all things to your remembrance. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. He'll bring everything you need to know to you. Glory to God. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and see horses and chariots and a person more than thou. Do you know what? When we're standing here, they tell me there's a lot more sinners than there are Christians. I don't know. We stand around Christians. It seems like everybody is, but everybody's not. So there's more of them than there are of us. But how many of you know the majority don't always count? I mean, they're not always right. You understand? Hallelujah. So when there's more people than us, be not afraid of them. God is telling you that. Glory to God. The first rule in warfare is fear not. Don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord your God is with you this morning, have brought you out of sin, set your feet on a solid rock, and has promised that he'd meet your needs. Hallelujah. He's promised that by his stripes you're healed. He's promised that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's promised that we'll walk in victory. Thanks be unto God who always gives us triumph. We always win. He's promised we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. He's promised all this. Glory to God. And we act like we don't have anything. I know none of you do, but I've seen people who do. And you might know a few who do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we need to take that word and change that. Glory to God. See, the devil needs fear like God needs faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Fear is the subject of things you don't want. Hallelujah. Remember Job? He said, that thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Hallelujah. See, fear will bring stuff to you. How many of you know it's a force? Glory to God. I'm telling you, I've been to a place where my hair would stand on end. I'd get so afraid. And you'd get goosebumps all over you. Just afraid. Fear would just mount up. And then when everybody else got afraid, I mean, it's just terror, you know? Just terror. God doesn't intend us to have that. Something happens in your body. Your hypothalamus begins to pump out cortisol and histamine and stuff that you need when you're in a real crisis. You know, I've read about little kids picking cars up. In fact, I knew this woman, her and her sister, back, you know, when they were just 4 years old, 4 and 6 or something like that, a car fell on their dad and they picked that car up. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You know, people do fantastic things when they get afraid, and all that hypothalamus pumps all that cortisol and all that histamine and junk into your body. It's there for a crisis. But some people live in that. Yes. And it pumps all that in there. And that's why we have heart attacks and we have all this junk, because we live there. God never intended us to live there. He wants you to renew your mind so that you can live in victory. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. You know, and you say, well, are you not afraid? There are still a few things I have to conquer, okay? But I'll tell you, God has really brought me through. I used to be afraid of storms. I wasn't afraid of the lightning. I was afraid of the thunder. How many of you know thunder won't hurt you? But I thought it was going to kill me. Hallelujah. Well, I can tell you, every time there was a thunderstorm, I'd get everybody up and make them go to the basement. If they wouldn't go, I'd sit at the bottom of the stairs and just rock my Bible, thinking every clap of thunder is going to kill me. You know, fear is not rational. And you don't want to live like that. It makes you sick. Hallelujah. But God said he'll take care of us. Fear not. How many times? Every time an angel come in, first thing I had to say was, fear not. Hallelujah. If an angel appeared to me, I mean, he might have to tell me, fear not either. But, you know, we can overcome these things. I remember when I used to be afraid of, and you say, well, that's just dumb. But I was afraid of these rides, you know, like, the roller coasters and the big ones. You know, I was really afraid, because when I was about 13, I went up into Michigan with my uncle, and he took me, we were in Detroit, and he took me to this thing. And when we got on that roller coaster and it went out over the lake, I thought I was going to die. I just thought, Lord, this is it. I mean, I thought I was going to fall out and die. And so then for years, I didn't write anything like that. It scared me. So I remember we were in California, and it was one called the Colossal. At that time, it was supposed to be the biggest ride, you know, the tallest one in the world at the time. And I remember it took us about an hour to get on there. And me and Roy stand, and I prayed in the spirit all the way up there. I thought, well, if I'm going to die, it won't take long. Hallelujah. But I am going to conquer this thing. And, you know, sometimes you have to just walk into that fear. And let me tell you something else. What you're afraid of is never, I mean, the fear is much worse than the actual thing. You know, you understand? I've been so afraid of something. Then when it happened, it wasn't near as bad as the fear. Hallelujah. So we got to take that word that he said, fear not, fear not, fear not. Every word has the power to bring itself to pass in the Bible. Every one of God's words. And it's alive and full of power. And we can take that and change things. You know, maybe you struggle with anger. I had that too. You know why I can teach this? Because I've been through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had to take the word and take the word and take the word. And I'd lose my temper. I'd blow it and I'd have to go back and repent and apologize to people. And I found out I didn't like to do that, man. It's better to kind of control yourself. But, you know, for years I just kept struggling, but I kept at it and kept putting enough word in there that, bless God, it got rid of it. And I began to not feel that terrible anger. Hallelujah. But this is not the time for fear. This is a time for war. But your mind has not been renewed to what God promised you. You'll follow along with others, even though you're born again. You'll follow along with the world if you don't renew your mind. You know, you have to renew your mind. And it shall be that when you are come nigh to unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day into the battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be you terrified because of them. That's what he's saying to you this morning. You don't have to tremble. You don't have to let your heart be terrified. Fear may come on you. Your knees may shake. But treat it like you would a headache trying to come on you. Treat it like you would when sickness tries to come on you. Hallelujah. You rebuke it and you carry out warfare against it. Hallelujah. You know, if something tries to come on me, I start right away. By his stripes you're healed. Bless God, I'm whole. Hallelujah. Himself took my infirmities and bore my diseases. And I just begin to come against it. Well, we need to do that when fear comes in. And sometimes it'll, you know, sudden fear. It talks about that in Isaiah 54, I think it's about 15 there. It says sudden terror. You know, jump up in your face and all of a sudden, but you've got to get a hold of yourself. Say no. No, something you didn't expect. You got to get hold of yourself and begin to say no. Hallelujah. You'll not come here. I will not be afraid. Hallelujah. God didn't give me this and I'm not having it. Hallelujah. Fear may come on you, but you don't have to keep it. You know, you can say, you come off me now in the name of Jesus. Get out of my mind. I fear not. God didn't give me fear. In the name of Jesus, I eliminate you from my heart. See, go after fear. Neither be you terrified, he said, because of them. For the Lord your God, I'm talking to you this morning, hallelujah. I've gone a little different than I thought I'd be going this morning, but somebody must need this. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you, hallelujah. Did he promise that he'd go with you? He'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He'll go with you even to the ends of the earth, he said. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. He didn't send somebody else. Hallelujah. He said it's he that to fight for you against your enemies to save you. That says I'm going to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not just save eternal life. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about save. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. One translation says to give you victory, to deliver you, to rescue you. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. And the officers shall speak further to the people, and they shall say, What is man? What man is it that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brother's hearts faint as well. They were commanded to point out the fearful and make them go home. See, God don't put up with chickens. Hallelujah. Come on. He said, go home. If you're scared, just go home. Because it's like an infection. It just infects people. You know? Hallelujah. One person gets real fearful, and then the next one will catch it just like the flu. Hallelujah. It's very contagious. But they were commanded to point out the fearful. Hallelujah. And, you know, we think, oh, we're afraid, we'll just hide. He pointed it out. Hey, you get up and go home. We're not using you today. Hallelujah. You don't need to be fearful. And you don't need fearful folks on the front line. Hallelujah. You know what? You got to treat that like it's a sickness. Their fear will contaminate the faith. There's no faith in fear. You can have 100 people praying in fear and nothing will happen. Loudness don't determine faith. Fear is catching just like the flu. Fear is contagious. Unbelief is contagious. You can get into a place where unbelief is rampant and it'll get on you. Hallelujah. Fear, you know, it's just, you can feel it. I don't know how many of you ever been to the place where you felt it in the room. It's like a pressure. You feel it. And you know, if you leave the north and go down south, in about 3 years, you'll be speaking southern, won't you, Sherry? Her sister went down south and she's speaking southern when she come back, won't she? Hallelujah. But you know, I don't think it works the other way around because I came from the south up here and they say I still talk funny. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But, you know, fear, I want to give you some points. Fear, it'll distort your image. Distort who God says you are. You know, when you get real afraid, you don't feel like a conqueror. And you don't feel like you're victorious. Number two, fear will pervert your judgment. It'll try to get you to tear up the church and leave the church when you got the best there is. You know, I've seen people leave one church and go to another one, try to change that one just like that. Well, in our last church, we did this and that. Well, why didn't you stay there? Come on. People do that. Hallelujah. Fear will cause procrastination. I'll just wait till later. You know, this is maybe not be the right time. Fear will paralyze your progress, cause you to stop like a snake bite. You know, that venom that's put in people, it's there to traumatize the body so you can't move. You know, it'll do that. A boa constrictor wraps itself around his victim, squeezes the life out of him so he can swallow him. See, that's what fear does. It paralyzes you, and you can't afford to fear. Fear destroys creativity. That's number five. Fearful people say there's no way out. You know. And when you're really afraid, don't look like there is a way. Yes, there is, but you just can't see it. There's always a way out. Fearful people say there's no way out. And I hear people saying, well, I don't know. You know, somebody asks them something. We do know. We just don't know we know yet. Because if I got the Holy Spirit in me and He knows everything, man, if I need it, I can dig in that Word and I can get close to God and I can hear His voice and He'll give me the answer. Hallelujah. Fear destroys creativity. Glory to God. You know, just remember there's always a way out. Jesus said, I am the way. You know, sometimes I'll be sitting and there'll be a lot of traffic. You know, traffic coming and I need to go someplace quick. Traffic just, and I'll say, Lord, You said You were the way. I need a way. I need a way to get out of here. And pretty soon, you just go. I just use that scripture for everything. Hallelujah. Isn't that neat? You know, He just says, and people say, oh, you're one of those Christians that believe for a parking place. Yeah, I do. You go ahead and walk from the back if you want to. I just believe for a parking place. And I always get it. Hallelujah. We got to start someplace believing God. Hallelujah. Fear, it will silence the voice of God. Hard to hear God. You know, if you get into faith, you see how quickly you can hear from God. Fear opens the door to more attacks. You know that, what you fear. That's what fear is meant to do. Job said, the thing I've greatly feared has come upon me. So when you fear, it just opens the door to more attacks. Do you ever have one thing happen, then something else, then something else, then something else, and you begin to get afraid and it just brings more? And fear will stop the supernatural. It'll stop your miracles. Hallelujah. Come on, how many of you are believing for miracles this morning? I'm talking about not that the sun rises and it's beautiful or a baby's born. I'm talking about a miracle. Glory to God. I'm talking about where somebody's had their arm cut off and God grows them an arm. Hallelujah. Or puts an eyeball in them. Glory to God. Or causes something to come that wasn't there. Hallelujah. That, I heard that somebody say that they had a friend who somebody died in their family and left $3 trillion. Now, that almost pushed me past my comfort zone. I thought, 3 trillion? Hallelujah. You know, hey, see, we got a certain level here, and we got to pass through that. Glory to God. You say, well, I don't have anybody that has any money that I know of. Hey, I got a friend who came and showed me a $100,000 check. I told you this a couple weeks ago. $100,000. I'd never seen a check that big. I looked and I thought, whoa, that many zeros, you know. Hallelujah. And I said, he said, an aunt of mine died and left me this. I said, did you know she had any money? He said, I didn't even know I had the aunt.
No. See.
Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Glory to God. We can push past what we're thinking. Push back. God has ways of getting it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If Elijah got fed by a raven, that nasty old bird bringing food, that sounds terrible, but he must have liked it. Hallelujah. But God could cause things. I probably told you this before. My son-in-law got laid off, and he was laid off for probably about 6 months. And that was back during that recession. And they let their dog out to go to the bathroom, and he come back in, and he had a $100 bill in his mouth. I said, send that dog back over to my house. Hallelujah. See, God has ways of getting money to you. They're givers, and they kept giving even while he was off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, don't discount that you have good things coming. If you do, you're going to miss out. Get into the Word. Renew your mind. I want you to say this. Say, Father, from this day on, I will fear no evil. I will fear no enemy. I will not be afraid of terrorists. I won't be afraid of an airplane. If I get on an airplane, it will not crash. I will fear no attacks of the devil. In the name of Jesus, I take hold of fear. And fear, I'm speaking to you. Hear me. I command you, in the name of Jesus, to leave my body, leave my mind, get out of my house, in the name of Jesus. From this day forward, this body, my mind, my spirit are off limits to all fear. I fear no evil. I'm as bold as a lion. I fear no man. I fear no religion. I fear no witchcraft. I fear no sickness. Because this day is a new day. It's a day when I realize that Jesus is my healer and that the 91st Psalm is true. I fear no evil in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, when fear tries to get hold of you, treat it like profanity. Treat it like you would a disease. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I want to take you through the 91st Psalm just for a minute, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is in the Living Bible. We live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by God who is above all gods. Hallelujah. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare, that He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I am trusting Him. Number 3, for He rescues you from every trap and protects you from the fatal plague. You understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you imagine if somebody tried to poison you, that poison would just go out of your system because you've claimed the 91st Psalm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He'll shield you with His wings. They will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor. Now you don't need to be afraid of the dark anymore, nor fear the dangers of the day, nor dread the plagues of darkness, nor the disaster in morning. I mean, hallelujah. See, He said there shall no plague come nigh your dwelling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember when Scott had chicken pox, and I said to the Lord, now listen, those things are a plague. Roy hadn't had them. Other 2 kids hadn't had them. And I just called it a plague. And bless God, God took it away. Hallelujah. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 are dying around me, the evil will not touch me. Hallelujah. I will see I will see how the wicked are punished, but I will not share in it. For Jehovah is my refuge. I choose the God above all gods to shelter me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How then can evil overtake me or any plague come near? For he orders his angels to protect. Glory to God. You hear me? Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. You need to read this thing out loud every day, every morning. Read it. Begin to say what the word says about you for that day and for your kids. Teach your kids to live in this. For he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will steady you with their hands and keep you from stumbling against a rock on the trail. I mean, I won't even stumble if I live in this. You can safely meet a lion or step on a poisonous snake, yet even trample them beneath your feet. Do you know what? That doesn't mean that I pick one up if I got enough faith. You won't bite me in Jesus' name. Well, you know, that's stupid. That's tempting God. We're not to do that. But if a snake comes up, even if it bit me just like Paul, shake it off. Hallelujah. Some of you need to do that. Just shake it off. You've been snake bit, and the enemy's tried to get you off into anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. Shake it off. Hallelujah. Sometimes I just do that. I just shake myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For the Lord says, because he loves me, I'll rescue him. I will make him great because he trusts in my name. Hallelujah. When he calls on me, did he say that? Did he really say that? When he calls on me, I will answer. Hallelujah. If you ask anything according to my will, I know you hear me. And if I know you hear me, I know I have what I ask for. Hallelujah. You understand that? Glory to God. He calls on me and I'll answer. Hallelujah. He calls on me and I might make you sick to teach you something. He never said that. Hallelujah. You know, Jeremiah 33:3, they say that's God's phone number. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. He said, you call, I'll answer. You call. I give you three places there. He said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing will be established. So I'll give you three places there where he said, you call, I'll answer. Hallelujah. Call on me. I'll answer. I'll be with you in trouble. Oh, yeah, God was with me. Saw me pull through a knot hole backwards. Beat on me terrible. No. When God is with you, he changes things. Amen. Hallelujah. You know it's going to get better because God is with you. Hallelujah. He said, I'll answer you. I'll be with you in trouble. I'll rescue you and honor you. Hallelujah. I will satisfy you with a full life and give you my salvation. He said, I'll give you healing. I'll give you prosperity. I'll give you well-being. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. Hallelujah. I'll allow you to walk in love. I'll allow you to walk in victory. Hallelujah. That's what salvation means. You know that. Hallelujah. He said, just keep holding on to me. You know, it may look bad right now, but I'll tell you, harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. Hallelujah. Keep your eye on the word. Renew your mind to what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Show you my great salvation. He, in the King James, it says with long life. Long life. Hallelujah. Will I satisfy you? Well, you know, it's not very satisfying if I'm 50 and I'm sick in the bed, can't get up. Don't have enough food to feed my family. You know, you wouldn't even want to live it. He said, with long life, I'll satisfy you. Hallelujah. So you can live till you're satisfied. Hallelujah. You know, when you get where you think you've done all you need to do and you're ready to go home, go. Be like him. Quails just fall over there and fall dead. You don't have to get sick. If those quails had been sick, they couldn't eat them. They just flew over there and fell dead. Hallelujah. One of these days when God gets done, and if Jesus don't come first, I'll just fall dead. Hallelujah. I don't have to die with a heart attack or a stroke or cancer or something awful. God don't have to borrow something off of the devil to kill me. He can just take my breath and I can just fall over. Hallelujah. So I told you, read this every morning. Every morning. I mean, take time to read it. Read it in one version, then in another. You know, just read it. Hallelujah. In Romans 13, I wanted to tell you this. Let every subject, every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God, whosoever therefore resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, that he may resist. That they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. See, he's saying policemen are good. You know, policemen are good. God put them here. We've never seen a time when they've been attacking the police force like they are now. And, you know, just it's just been terrible. But he said that person is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. God has put him here. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. See, God has ordained the policeman and the military to be under the anointing of God. Why? Because God is going to revenge those who do evil. Now, today, they don't have swords and they have Uzis and jet planes and tanks. Some people don't believe we should have a military. You know, militaries are ordained by God. Police people are ordained by God. We've never seen a time when lawlessness was put up with and policemen are despised. People going after them, coming and just shooting them because they got a uniform on. We need to pray for those people. Pray for those that are in authority over us. People going after police who are sent here to keep us safe. Mayors trying to tie the hands of the police force. Sanctuary cities. Can you believe it? They got sanctuary cities set up for murderers and rapists. Let them go to cast their evil on innocent people. You know, I'm just saying, that word terror jumps out at you, don't it? Hallelujah. You know, in Joshua 1, it said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. Who's going to make your way prosperous? If you meditate the word, then God's going to make your way prosperous. That's not what he said. God said he gave you the power to get wealth. You understand? He said there, then thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. When we meditate that word, God gives us ideas. He gives us creative, inventive ideas. He gives us things. Hallelujah. Then we can be prosperous, that God will make our way prosperous. And we'll have good success. You know, you say, well, is there bad success? I'd say so. You know, Whitney Houston, bless her heart, she had the most beautiful voice and was in all kinds of places and famous. The whole world knew who she was. But she didn't have good success. She died in a bathtub. You know, that's not good success. Hallelujah. Some of the others, Michael Jackson, some of these you see, they reached what the world would call success. But it wasn't good. How many people do we know that have been famous that have killed themselves just because they didn't have good success? See, God will give you good success. But what did he say he had to do? He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Well, how can I think of the word day and night? I got to work. You know what? You can keep a mindset for that. You know, he says, pray without ceasing. How are you going to pray without ceasing? Well, you got a mind to pray. I mean, you know, it's real quick for you. Instant, in season and out of season. You program and train your mind to pray and look to God first. You getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Meditation is God's way of bringing forth a spiritual experience that is designed to change our image and believing system into a place where God can deliver us or get us to the things he has desired for us from the beginning. Meditation. See, where do we hear that word now? All the, you know, New Age, all this stuff, meditation, you know. So the Christian has moved away from meditation because, oh, that's a bad word. You know, that's a bad thing. It was God's idea. He told us, but he told us what to meditate. You don't empty your mind ever, ever. Listen to me. Don't ever live to empty your mind and just whatever. You know, that's what the yoga stuff and a lot of that tries to do, get you to empty your mind so the enemy can come in and fill it. Hypnotism. You know, you don't want to do that. Man, I'm telling you, you don't ever want to turn your will and your mind over to somebody else because the enemy will get in there. The only way you can turn your mind and will over to anybody is through God. And he won't misuse that. But we need to be very careful. Meditation is a spiritual experience that produces an internal program exchange. And we can change our situation and we can make decisions based on the truth of God's word rather than based on the previous thinking that we've had in the past. You understand? We can meditate that word. Think on it. Tear it apart. Say it over. Meditate really means to murmur. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Say it over and over and over again. Just keep saying it. Hallelujah. Like an old cow who, you know, they say a cow has several stomachs and they chew and then they swallow it and then they bring it back up and chew it again and chew it again and chew it again. That's the reason they say it's okay to eat beef and not pork, because pigs don't do that. But we need to do that with the word. Get it up there. You know how many times I've taken, Ephesians 2:10. I've taken that and I've gone over that and gone over that and chewed it and chewed it and chewed it. And every time I get something good out of it. Hallelujah. Do you get excited about the word? You know, the only part of the word that's going to help you is that part you get excited about. Hallelujah. When I see this, I say, well, that's how come I jump every now and then, because I don't know what else to do but just, glory. So good. It's so good. He promised that if we wouldn't let this word depart, you know, when people say dirty words, you know, they'll just say dirty words. And now they got crazy things. You know, if something's good, they call it wicked. Wicked. You know, they say that thing. And you know, people just think that's okay. Well, no, it's not. It's still wicked. Come on. It's, you know, you don't want to call, the Bible says there'll be a time when you call evil good and good evil. You know, let's don't use some of these words that the world uses. But if we'll take that word and put it in our mouth and think about the word day and night, you know, and just let that word get so full of the word that it comes up. Remember when I told you and I had that wreck, I could hear myself. I mean, they said I was in shock, but I could hear, you know, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My poor soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. The angel of the Lord encamped around those that fear him to deliver them. You know, this just started coming up. Get so full of the word that when somebody bumps you, they get the word of God all over them. You know, get so full of the Holy Ghost, somebody bumps you, they get the Holy Ghost all over them. Hallelujah. I'm not quite there yet. Sometimes they get some spirit on them. It might not be that. I'm working on it, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm 1,000 times better than I used to be. Hallelujah. But when we're talking about meditation, we're talking about Bible meditation, not some Eastern religion. If you will elevate your thinking to the level of the truth of God's word, God said in Isaiah 8:18, he said that we're made for signs and wonders. That's why you are made, for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Just use me. Glory to God. The world cannot tell you who you are or even how much you're worth. You know, they can't tell you that. In Mark 9:19, it said, he answered him and said, O faithful generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Hallelujah. Bring him unto me. So I tell you this morning, glory to God, we can take everything to the Lord and watch your life change. I want to push you to a higher level. I want to come to a higher level. I want to get my thinking on a higher level. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as it can't be done. Hallelujah. How many times have they, Chuck Yeager, was he the one that broke the sound barrier? Or was it? Yeah. You know, they said it couldn't be done. I watched a film of that, you know, how he shook and, I mean, it looked like he's going to die, but he just kept going and he broke the sound barrier. Hallelujah. When I was a kid, I can remember downtown, they had a restaurant and there was a big picture window. And when they, you know, the planes used to break the sound barrier and it'd be a loud boom. Those of you who are a little older may remember that. And it broke that picture window, just cracked it all the way down. So, you know, you used to hear that every night. It was this loud. It sounded like a bomb going off. Hallelujah. They don't do that anymore because somebody broke the sound barrier and realized that there was means of stopping that noise. Hallelujah. In the early 1900s, they wanted to just do away with the patent office because they said everything that's going to be invented had already been invented. Well, now look. Hallelujah. In the last 10 years, just think about what we didn't have 10 years ago. I remember when I took a course on the computer and I found out PC meant personal computer. I didn't even know what that meant. Hallelujah. But there's stuff that we have now, cell phones. And I remember when I had a bag phone, you know, carried it in my car. You only used it just in emergency because you couldn't pay the bill otherwise. But anyway, I just want to push you to go to a higher level where you believe God for to do some great things. How many of you want to win millions of souls? How many of you want to give like you've never given before? How many of you want to see people delivered out of sin and out of bondage? God's people delivered. Hallelujah. Well, bless God. We're going to see it. Hallelujah. And I just want to keep encouraging you to believe God for more and more and more. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because He said it belongs to us. Hallelujah. He said He had given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You, God. I thank You, God. I thank You. I thank You for the truths in the Word of God. I thank You, God, that our hearts are receptive, our minds are open to what the Word of God says. Thank You, Father. Thank You for each one in here. I pray blessing on each one in here. I ask, God, that You bless them coming in, that You bless them going out. You bless them in the city. You bless them wherever they go, God. Everything they set their hand to do, let it be blessed. I thank You for that. Bless their marriages, their businesses, their homes. Bless them to get rest, Father, God, in Jesus' name. And one more thing, Father, help them to get revelation every time they open the Word. I ask You, God, to let them get so excited about the Word that they just have a hunger like they couldn't get satisfied. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.